with this. I feel the immediate impact of prayer and fasting. You never do that you don't see real-time results. Whenever you seek God, God always moves in your direction. You can't seek after him without seeing his response. And so we're excited about what God is doing in our midst. Really, really excited about our quizzers. When you consider all of the volume of scripture that's being buried in those young hearts, and the fact that it's not just simply cognitive, but that it is also spiritually alive. The Word of God likens itself to seed that is planted, and it has the capacity to grow with unknown and untold powerful potential in the lives of all of these kids. And we're just so excited and very proud of all of them tonight, and just so very, 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 very good to see what God is doing. Brother James Williams, are you on the back wall back there? Come here. I didn't see you here tonight. Come here. We love James and Monica Williams. I love the good work that God's doing in them. Brother James, just come and greet your home church here. Don't be sneaking in here standing on the back wall like that without telling somebody. Praise God.
Love you. Hey, man, I told Brother Roderick back there, I said, Brother Sutton don't know I'm here. I'm going to go and hide in the bathroom so he won't call me up. Amen. I'll just remind him. And I thought you saw me. Amen. And so I was just telling Roderick, I said, remember years ago, used to call me up to testify all the time, and I used to get nervous. And so I decided I would go and start hiding in the restroom. And one day I was back there hiding, and I can hear Brother Sutton over the microphone say, go in there and get Brother James out of the restroom and tell him to come here and testify. Amen. I couldn't hide. Brother Stephen said, where you came from? I said, man, I already have my glorified body. I just came through the wall. You didn't see me? Amen. Well, I'm so glad to be here tonight. My wife and I are glad to be here, and this is home. Amen. And I appreciate what God is doing here. I came in the parking lot. I said, man, they having a revival service tonight or something. Amen. And I love this. Praise the Lord. This is a beautiful congregation, and we're going to do the same thing in Forestdale. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now you want to know what's going on. Amen. Well, we're growing, and God is doing some wonderful things. We just moved into our new facility, and amen, and we're working. Well, when I say new, it's a new place, but it needs a little work, and we're going to work on it. We're going to fix it up, and we probably can hold about 100 to 200 people if we need to. Amen. Amen. God is good. We had every month we have at least two youth services, every second Friday, I think they do it. And anyway, there was a lady been visiting. We've been, like you, Brother Sutton, been praying and asking God to send us some white people. We need some white folk in our church. Amen. We need a little coffee. We need a little cream in our coffee. Amen. And I just been praying. I told one of the members there, I said, no, this year going to be a different year. We want white people to come. We got to reach out to more white people, more groups, more, just can't just reach all the black people. Amen. I don't think it's going to be all black people in heaven. I don't think it's going to be all white people in heaven. It's going to be a mixture of us all, black, white, Puerto Rican. I don't know about aliens, green, if they, I guess. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We had our first baptism this year in the building. Amen. On that youth night, Barbara, Caucasian white lady, come to our church, get baptized in Jesus' name. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She come back Sunday morning worshiping, praising God, and saying, this is the place that God has sent me. And I'm just so excited about what God is doing. He's going to do some wonderful things. And I'm believing that he's going to continue to do that this year. Amen. I'm aiming to have that, all the seats that we have. We bought some new chairs similar to these chairs here with the brown. And we're going to fill them up, Brother Sutton. Amen. God bless you, folks. I love you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Love you, man. God bless you. Pray for you every day.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Well, praise the Lord. I have a list of people that I pray for every day. And Brother James and Sister Monica are on that list. And along with Amber, you need to make sure you lift these folks up. And there's a lot of things and a lot of people to pray for and to pray about. And you can't pray for everybody by name. I used to pray for the whole church by name every time I would pray. And quickly I found out that if we grow, this is all I'm going to do. So I learned to just say, God bless your church today. God strengthen your church today. Prosper your people. But we love Brother James and Sister Monica. I really do believe they're going to build a great work in Birmingham for the cause of God, for the kingdom of God. And when I think about when Brother Emery was preaching and Slow Joe and Brother James came down to the front, it was an amazing thing to see what God is doing. It was wonderful to hear their testimony where they had come from, and to watch them now and see what God has done with them is just beautiful. I love the kingdom of God. I love the church, and I love watching God work. Now, we've been making our way through 1 Thessalonians, and we made our way into a discussion of prayer this morning, and we're going to be there for a while. We're going to be in that discussion of prayer as long as it takes us to get through it. It's a broad conversation to have. But tonight, as we were in this week of prayer and fasting and consecration, somewhere in early in the week, in prayer, I just heard something in the Holy Ghost. And I want us to deal with that tonight. We're going to set aside our normal broadcasting here, and we're going to move on into something that I feel like the Holy Ghost just said in my heart. So, and I feel like it's for us at this time, a word in season for us. And so we're going to read tonight for a text, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fish which they had taken. And so also is James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. God bless you. If you love his word tonight, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, for your word that is so good and so rich in this house tonight. We thank you for the product of your word. We thank you for the privilege of handling your word here tonight. We pray, God, help us to receive it like seed, and that it grow in us tonight and bring forth your will and your desire. And everyone said amen. Praise God. Praise God. So what dropped into my spirit as I was praying and seeking God this week was simply the idea of handling the miraculous, or handling the miracle. Isn't it amazing that God lets us handle his stuff, lets us handle miraculous things, or lets us handle a miracle? He invites us to come and to be a part. And in every dispensation, he always gives men something to do. It's amazing to me that the world, the church world at large, has abdicated their position of doing in the kingdom of God. And they have totally divorced salvation from the idea of doing. And they just say, no, faith without works and that you can't do anything in the kingdom of God. It's all by grace, and it's all by faith. And we could have a long discussion about both of those, but if you'll read James chapter 2, he will set you straight about the relationship. But I want you to know, in every dispensation, there is always something to do. And your salvation and your doing, or if you would, your mission, your missiology, they are connected together and cannot be separated. You are the people of God, and you do the things that God does. You are the people of God, and you do the will of the Father. It's what makes you what you are, and those things are inseparable. So God lets us build an ark. God lets us build an altar. God lets us build the tabernacle. God lets us go to the mountain and come down with the tables of stone. God lets us participate. We pray with people. We carry the word of God. And there's some things that God won't do. God won't come down in a city and start a revival. He leaves that up to a man or a woman to come down and start a revival by planting the seed like a farmer plants seed in the earth. That's how revival starts. That's how revival grows. And that's how revival continues. And in a city where there's no man, there's no revival. And in a city where there's no church that'll do the work, there's no revival. And I'll just tell you, in that city, it is dark and there is no hope in that city until somebody comes up and lays hold of the work of God and says, I will go. Here I am. Send me. Praise God. So in this reading, Jesus lets them participate in the miraculous. And the miracle breaks their net. And the miracle almost sinks their boat. And the miracle almost sinks their friend's boat. Revival brings problems. You're praying for a miracle right now. Are you ready for a miracle? I'm just telling you, from where you're sitting, don't just sit there, twiddle your thumbs. Oh, God, I need it. Oh, God, I need it. Oh, God. You better be about the business of getting ready for it. In your faith and in your vision, you better prepare the ground for the miracle that God is ready to send to you. Because if you don't, your boat's going to sink and net's going to break. And you're going to be ill-prepared to handle the miracle of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So God's going to let you be a part. God's going to let you hold the light. God's going to let you handle the miraculous. But right now, as you're waiting for the intersection of time and the miracle of God, we are daily handling the miraculous. We are daily handling this business of living for God and the gospel and the light of God. We are the salt and the light of our age and of our city. We are, if you would, the oracle of God. All of those things are miraculous. We are covered up with the miracles of God. But I just want you to know God has something in mind for you. And your life, if you are serious and living for God with good intent and good energy, you are on your way to the intersection of a miracle. You are on your way to a place in time and in space where you're going to intersect the miracle of God. And my admonition to you tonight, this is what God dropped in my heart. You better be ready for that moment. Don't you miss the miracle that God has in mind for you. Don't you be late for what God has in mind. And don't you walk into the intersection of that without preparation. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You better get ready. God's sending you a miracle. Anybody believe that tonight? You better get ready. God's sending you a miracle. God's going to let you participate in something he's excited about. God's about to turn the crank on something that he's going to let you be a part of. And you better get yourself ready. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Anybody need a miracle? Anybody want a miracle? Anybody crave the moving of God in your life tonight? When the miracle came, it brought them to the limit of their physical strength. My daily prayer is, God, give us strength enough and sense enough to get them into the boat. Because I pray, when I pray his kingdom come, I say, let it be like a net cast into the sea, like the day you stood with Peter. God, you filled up his nets. You drew from all over that place. I pray, God, draw from every corner of Birmingham. Draw from Pelham to Hayden. Draw from Hoover to Springville. Draw from Pell City. Draw from McCullough to Moody. Draw from West Birmingham and North Birmingham. Mighty God, I pray in the name of Jesus to the north, east, west, and south. Hold not back. Loose them and let them come into the net of God. But you better not pray that prayer if you're not ready and you're not strong enough to get them into the boat. It filled their natural capacity. It taxed their natural strength. Peter was made so acutely aware of his fallen nature and his limitations and the smallness of his life that his first response was to run from the miracle. God, depart from me. I am a sinful man. And some people get involved in the miraculous and the moving of God, and you can see the wheels turning, and you can see they're calculating costs, and they're calculating the challenge, and they're looking through the lens of the knowledge of their own limitations, and they think, I'm not able to participate with God. Let me tell you something. God's never going to send you something that he won't equip you to handle. God will never send you a miracle that'll break your back. God will always use you and empower you. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, God uses donkeys, and I want to be a donkey that's used of God. Well, praise God. Praise God. Anybody want to be used? Tell your neighbor, I want God to use me. My God, I want a miracle to break out in my house. I want a miracle to break out in my school. I want a miracle to break out in my family. I want a miracle to break out in my church. Let a miracle break out in my neighborhood. Let it break forth in my city. Praise God. But if you pray that, you need to be ready for that. You need to be prepared for that, because God uses men. God uses women. Don't pray for things you're not prepared for. Because if you pray and you're not preparing, you're a contradiction in terms. Praise God. He wanted to separate. He said, Jesus, depart from me. I'm a man. I'm a sinful man. And he knew that he was dealing with God. And at that moment, he reassured Peter and he called them away from everything they had ever known. They left their father's fishing boats. And they went on a 3-year journey of building and education and learning and preparation, because they were going to be the beginnings of the church of the living God in the earth when it broke forth in Jerusalem. They were going to be the coordinators and the facilitators and the prophets and the preachers. And they had walked with him. And so there was this season of preparation. Do not be lazy about this. Get yourself ready. Prepare yourself. What should I do? Well, just follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Build yourself personally. Build yourself according to the constructs of the Word of God. Make yourself the best person that you are able to be. Be ready, because God's going to send you strategically into places where no apostolic has ever been before. God's going to send you places. You're going to meet people and influence folks that you've never met before. But we need an apostolic at every strata, at every place, in every office, in every area of expertise. We need apostolics all over the map, because they're hungry people all over the map. And we've got to have, you can't walk in that place if you're not qualified. You got to get yourself ready. There's a miracle coming down your dusty road. There's a miracle breaking out in your life. There's a miracle intersecting with your future. Praise God. So we've been making our way through the epistles, and men beginning at Jerusalem, they made their way into every village and every city of Israel and Asia Minor and all around the Mediterranean basin. And as they did, they were preaching and witnessing and praying and testifying, handling the word of God all the way, handling the miraculous of God, handling the miracle of God, handling light, sowing miraculous seed. Every time you give somebody a little shot card, every time you witness to somebody and give them a church card, every time you give somebody a scripture, you're handling the seed of God. You're sowing it forth. Be indiscriminate with it. Just sow the seed. The Bible doesn't talk about specifically planting. He talks about sowing the seed, which means you cast handfuls at a time on people. And he wants you to be generous with it. He wants you to sow the miraculous seed of the Word of God. This is 2015. We are handling miraculous things in this service tonight, this morning. Literally, we had, what's it, 3 or 4, Brother Cliff, went down in the water in Jesus' name this morning. Their eternity was changed because their sins were washed away. We are handling eternal things. Some people were filled with the Holy Ghost today. They were born again of the Spirit. They were dead men and women, and they were filled with the Spirit of God, and they came alive in this house. It was a miracle. Now, the newspaper
neighbor won't talk about that, and the secular world won't appreciate that, and the political world's not interested in that. But things begin to happen, and their names were taken off the roll of hell, and their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My God, we were walking through and in and around the miraculous this morning. And as we worshiped in this house, angels are all around this house, encamped round about those that are the called of God and God's people, and angels are moving in and out, and the miraculous of God is moving, and our lives are being changed, and we're handling the word of God. And it's so easy for us to settle into the idea that this is just normal to me. I've routinized it, I've normalized it, and so I lose sight of how miraculous it is. You can't do that. I have to pull it out every day and brush it off, and I want to stop for a moment and tell you that's one of the reasons your prayer life is so very, very important, because your prayer life is where you pull it out of your pocket and you shine it up again, and you remember, this is miraculous. I'm not just walking around here by myself. I'm walking with the promise of God and with angels and with the people of God, the souls of men made righteous. My God, this is something God set forth in the eternities, and I'm a part of it tonight. You need to refresh yourself in that and remember that. And that's one of the things that prayer is and prayer does. It makes the impression deeper and deeper, and we understand it better and better. You don't need to lose sight of how, if you do, Judas is walking with God manifest in the flesh. He's walking with him. He's eating with him. He's sleeping in the same area with him. He's handling the things of God. He's handling a miracle every day. But something happens, and his petty, vindictive spirit begins to exert itself, and he loses sight, even though he's seen him raise the dead and heal the blind eyes and do all manner of miracles. He watched him feed the multitude, and he saw him walk on water, but he lost the miracle. He lost his vision of it, his appreciation of it. You say, can that happen? Oh, it can happen. Israel walked out of Egypt covered up by miracles. God had plagued Egypt 10 times miraculously. There was a tower of cloud and fire, and they walked under that. There was water coming out of a rock every day, and bread appearing on the rocks and on the ground for them to eat, sustaining them every day, miracle after miracle. But they became jaded and cynical and accustomed to the miraculous, and they lost the glory of it. They lost the shine of it. Jesus said, you got to come into this as a little child. Little kids, I like to watch them around here. They just play. They just have a big old time. They just love church, and they love to see their friends, and they just love to be in the house of God, and they're just having, they're building memories, and it's just exciting. They don't want to miss church for anything. They want to be here. They want to be a part of it. You got little kids, can you say amen? They want to be here and be a part of this, but something starts to happen to you when you get to be an adult, and you get kind of crotchety, and you start getting a little bit used to the miracle, and you forget how wonderful and powerful it is, and you lose the vision of the miraculous in your life, and you walk in the door, and you're tired, and you're worn, and you're a little bit hard, and you're getting crusty, it's not as exciting to you. I want you to understand something. Your bald-headed preacher is more excited about this tonight than I was 40 years ago when it first started happening in my life. I was watching this morning, and I was just, yes, 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 yes. I was so excited about it. But you see, the key to that is you got to go back to the well, and you got to drink of it every day. You got to get that prayer life cranking. You got to get that worship life moving. I'm celebrating. What are you doing in the house? I'm celebrating. Aren't you worried about all the minutia? We were baptizing people this morning and didn't have any towels. All the towels got used up in the foot washing service Friday. And that's just one little thing. But there's all kind of little things going on all the time around this house. And there's people things, and there's family things, and there's issues with folks, and there's frictions with folks. And I'm the pastor, and I know about all of them, most of them. If I don't, Shirley Corey knows all of them. She's like the apostolic CIA. People just tell, they spill their guts to her. She's just like, tell me your deepest, darkest secrets, and they do. She never has to solicit that. And you say, well, doesn't all that make coming to church a drag? Look, all of that makes it all the more miraculous to me. Because first, God still loves us. He still shows up. He still does his thing here. Isn't it amazing that God works with fallen, broken, distorted flesh, and he still loves us, and he's still redeeming us, and he's still filling us? My God, what a God. My God, what a miracle it is, this miracle of salvation, this miracle of redemption. Praise God. So that's how I approach it. I approach it like that. I'm not going to let you bog me down. You won't steal my joy, and you won't steal my worship, and you won't steal my sleep. I'll sleep like a baby tonight. I will, because I say, it's yours, God. I don't pretend to be God. I am not God. I can't carry it. He said, come yoke yourself together with me. He carries it. He just lets me participate in the miracle. I know my place. I'm just helping out in the miracle. He lets me have my little job, but he's carrying it all on his great and strong shoulders. Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. Well, praise God. Praise God. The church is miraculous. The people of God are miraculous. What he's doing with us is miraculous. I'm jazzed and excited about it all. I don't need a cheerleader, and I don't need somebody to provoke me. I wake up excited about the church of the living God. I wake up excited about Bible studies. I wake up excited about another generation of little Bible quizzers. I wake up excited about a praise group and musicians, and I wake up excited. Man, I come to church and I think this is good. God's doing good. Brother James, I remember a little handful in a storefront in Leeds, Alabama. My God, I'm looking at this tonight and I'm thinking, this is good. God's doing a miracle here. God's doing something that nobody's ever done in the city of Birmingham before. God's got an apostolic church just beginning to rise. And if that's not exciting to you, I can't help you. You're focused on other things. You may be excited about the NFL playoffs. I can't help you. I'm not excited about that. You may be excited about some other secular thing. You may be excited that Mitt Romney is going to run again for president the 10th time. I'm not excited about that. I'm not excited about that. I'm excited about prophecy coming to pass. I'm excited about people getting the Holy Ghost. I'm excited about people making commitments to God. I'm excited about young people on the front row of the house of God tonight, worshiping and magnifying God. And they don't have to be here, but they choose to be in the house of God. I'm excited about that. Praise God. Glory to God. So what we're doing here, we're handling the miraculous every day, and life is preparatory for the millennial, which is miraculous, and it's preparatory for eternity, which is miraculous. 1 Corinthians 6:1-3, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? You don't take your brother to court. You come to the church with your difference or your problem. Everybody say amen. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Don't you know we're getting ready for the miraculous? Don't you know the church is going to judge the world? Did you know that? Do you not know that? And if the world be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to life. What we're handling right now is wonderful and miraculous and powerful right now, but it is preparatory for what we're going to be doing in the next 1,000 years. We're going to be on staff with God. We're going to be working with angels. We're going to be handling eternal and ultimate things on a daily basis. I'm loving this, but my goodness, I get almost crazy thinking about what that's going to be like. Revelation 1:6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. My goodness, God has brought us on board. We're a part of the staff of God and made us kings. Over what? I don't know, but God said it. It's going to be that way. It's like that little scrawny private that caught Napoleon's horse. Napoleon's horse is running away on an icy road, and this private steps out of the ranks and grabs the reins and pulls that horse down and saves the emperor. And the emperor says, thank you, Lieutenant. And he stood up a little straighter, and he walked over to the officer's tent, and he went in, and they were insulted and outraged, and they were going to throw him out. And they said, well, why are you here? Why are you doing in our tent? I'm a lieutenant. And they were going to throw him out, probably throw him in the brig. But Napoleon came in, and Napoleon said, this is my lieutenant. Well, praise God. You may not look like a king tonight. You may not feel like a king tonight. But the word of God said you're a king and a priest. You are God's royalty. You are a member of a royal family. You need to stand up and start acting like that tonight. Well, praise God. My goodness, I'm excited about you, Michael. I get excited just watching you down here in the front of the church. I get excited about watching you handle the things of God. You are handling the miraculous, and you are the miraculous tonight. My God! My God! And he's winning ribbons at quiz meets. He's ingesting the word of God. Makes me want to run through the wall. Praise God. Revelation 20:6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such hath the second death no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ. And shall reign with him 1,000 years. Take your best shot. Try to depress me. Just go ahead. Tell me something that's going to depress me. I'm going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And that's just the first next 1,000 years. That's not even eternity. I'm gone. I have crossed over. I believe this tonight. Praise God. So in the middle of this, we're handling the miraculous of God. He gives us some very basic things to do. We handle the gospel. We obey the gospel. We are called to be righteous. We follow after righteous living. He's called us. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. These are the things God's asked us to do as we handle the miraculous. He's asked us to forgive our enemies and be merciful to everybody. This is on my punch list. This is my checklist here of what God, the King, has asked me to do as I handle the miraculous. And I will tell you that it makes you suitable to handle the miraculous. When you get bogged down in these areas and you don't respond to the gospel and you won't live a righteous life and you punt on holiness and you won't forgive people and you're not merciful and you're not kind, then you disqualify yourself from handling the miraculous. You want to be an idiot. You do that. I want to handle these things of God. I want to see God pour out something in Birmingham that'll cause everybody's ear that hears it to tingle. I want God to pour out something in Alabama that God has not poured out thus far. I want to see something happen here that everybody shakes their head and says, that, my friend, is a miracle. Clap your hands unto him and bless him. Praise God. It is miraculous. We are replicating ourselves, and to handle the miraculous, you have to continually replicate yourself. And all of this is allowing us to benefit and participate in the miraculous of God. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. It is conditional. You have to be faithful with what God has given you right now. Well, I'm waiting for the miracle of God. Oh, no, no. God's already given you something. You've got something in your hand right now. You've got a responsibility right now. You've got a calling right now. You've got a charge from God right now. And whether or not you get to handle that big thing that God's going to do or that you've asked for is going to be dependent upon how well you handle these rudimentary things. You want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been ruler. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. I don't think that that is exactly isolated to a discussion of the end time or heaven. I believe that that is applicable to us right now. Because as you grow in the kingdom of God, God gives you greater responsibility. God gives you a bigger circle of influence. Praise God. And so it's essential that you handle well what God has given you right now. If you're on a team, be the best team member that's on that team. If you've got a ministry, you be the very best. Don't walk in dry and unprepared. You get yourself ready. You be ready for everything. You act like it's the most important moment that has ever been on your calendar. When you come to serve the people of God or to serve God in his house among his people, you regard that as, okay, this is the small thing that he's given me to do. And if I do that well, and if I do that with excellence, then God's going to give me more things to handle. And it's not an exercise in ego. It's an exercise in every time I walk through another door with God, it's all the more exciting. Every time I see something else that God has planned for my life, it's all the more exciting. This thing gets better as it goes. It gets richer and deeper. And Luke 12:42, the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." When he comes. Now that's talking about your eschatology, the coming of the Lord. But I'm just telling you, when God comes around to check on his church and his people and on your life, blessed is that man who's found faithful and so doing what you know to do. What's the will of God for me? Is it some far-flung? No. The will of God is for you to do today what you know to do today. It's easy. The will of God, la voluntad de Dios, es muy simple. You just do what you're supposed to do, what you're called to do today. Praise God. Praise God. So God lets us participate. God lets us be a part. We better be preparing to handle the miracle when it comes. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, say the Lord. You need to be infused. You can't effectively do the work of God carnal. You have to do the work of God in a spiritual way, filled with his spirit. So don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with his spirit. You've got to have a prayer life to be effective in handling the miraculous. You need to be a worshiper to be effective to handle the miraculous. You need to have a song in your heart to be effective to handle the miraculous. Praise God. You've got to have a free flow of the Spirit of God to be effective in handling what God is setting you up for right now. So when God comes to your boat, you have to be ready. You have to be so doing. They were working when he found them. They were cleaning their nets. God is attracted to workers. God is attracted. Well, what are you doing in your local assembly? What are you doing among the people of God? Well, I just show up. Oh. And what are you expecting from God? Oh, I expect God to do great things with me. Really? Really? God is attracted to workers. You need several things in the house of God. One of them is a friend. You need to be connected to people in the house of God. But you need a job in the house of God. You need to find a place of ministry to pour yourself out. Remember, your salvation and your mission are connected together. And without mission, you cannot be saved. You got to find something to do among the people of God and in the house of God. Praise God. Did you just add that onto the gospel? Did you mean to say that there are other things past the gospel that are required for salvation? Oh, yeah. You got to come in and get the Holy Ghost, be baptized in Jesus' name. You got to repent of your sins, and then you got to forgive your enemies, and you got to be merciful to everybody. And you got to be holy, for I am holy, and you got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And you got, we can just add onto that ad infinitum. If God tells it to you, it becomes serious. It becomes essential, if you would. They were working, and God gave them a little test to see if they were available. He said, "Simon, push out from the shore a little bit." And he did. Simon's in the middle of a job. He's been working all night. He's been working all night, and he's tired, and he's frustrated because they hadn't caught anything. So he's doing that, and here comes Jesus. And I don't know what's going on in Simon's mind. But Jesus says, "Simon, push out a little bit from shore." And he's like, "I'm cleaning these nets. I'm going home. I'm going to eat supper or breakfast or whatever it is. And then I'm going to bed because I got to work again. And here, this preacher's wanting me to do something else. Push off a little from the shore. Do you realize what it takes to push off a little from the shore? I've got to hang up all my nets again. I've got to untie this boat. I've got to get down in the water. I just got dry. I've got to push this boat out. I've got to clamber up over the rail. I've got to go, and you're going to sit there and draw on and on. I don't know what's going on in Peter's head, but I know people. But God gives him a little test to check his availability. And Peter pushes the boat out, and Jesus sits down in the boat, and he teaches the people. And then he is positioned, because Jesus is on the boat. And now he's positioned for a miracle. The boat is seaworthy. The boat is well maintained. The boat is available. I'm just going to tell you, Jesus is not going to come sit down in a boat full of holes. He's not going to pull the trigger on a miracle in a place that is destitute and ill-maintained, and you're not doing... How many of you remember when Brother Wilson stood in the Red Building and said, the devil lives in dirty houses? You don't remember? I remember that, because I said, amen! And I guess some of you are squirming with that tonight. But your boat needs to be well maintained, and it needs to be seaworthy. That's your life, that's your home, that's your family, that's your area of ministry. Everything needs to be ship shape. The best you can with what you have is what God wants. And even with all that, when the miracle comes, that boat almost sank. And his nets began to break. The men on the boat were journeymen. They were craftsmen. They were skilled. They were willing. They were strong enough. They were wise enough. And it taxed them to their limit. If you're not ready, the miracle of God can kill you. The miracle of God can break you, tear your nets, and sink your boat. You better be ready. If you're praying for revival, you better be ready for revival. If you're praying for a miracle, you better be ready for a miracle. If you're praying for your husband to come and live for God and lead you in the kingdom of God, you better be ready when he gets charged up and starts taking you places you never wanted to go. You better be ready for what the miracle may manifest as in your house. It taxed them to the limit. Praise God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You've got to be ready. God has, God's got something miraculous for this church. And I believe because God deals with individuals and families, that miraculous thing is going to touch every home and every family and every individual here. Do you believe that? I really, really do. Look, we had good church this morning. We're having good church tonight, but I really don't believe you've seen anything yet. I just don't believe we've even scratched the surface yet. Now, you do what you want with that, but I believe that. So, John 21. When they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? He said, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, feed my lambs. He said to him again, Simon, do you love me? He said, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He said to them the third time, do you love me? He said, feed my sheep. He said, Simon, I don't want to hear you tell me you love me. I want to see you show me you love me. I don't want to hear you voice your faithfulness to me. I want to see you interact with my people, and I want you to take a decisive role in the life of another person and be a blessing to that person. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Matthew 23:11. Who's the greatest among you? If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, you're going to be a servant. I'm talking about preparing yourself mentally, spiritually, and in your actions to be a handler of the miraculous. Their net was cleaned. Their net was repaired. It was fit to hold the miracle, and it almost broke. Your passion-based area of ministry needs to be the very best that it can. You need to think about it. You need to pray about it. You need to handle it on a regular basis, and you need to think about how you can refine it and make it better. Somebody say, praise the Lord. When he pulled the trigger on the loaves and fishes, Lindsay, come, give him some hope here. When he began to break the bread, he started that conversation in several of the Gospels. He starts that conversation, and he challenges them about the circumstance, like, where are we going to get food for all these people? And so the disciples become involved in that just from the very beginning of it. And there are so many obstacles. How would we ever feed the disciples? Were saying, let's send them home. We can't handle this. This is too big. Let's just send them home. And Jesus said, no, let's see what we have. Let's see what we have. And they find that little boy, and the boy's got the three fish and the loaves, and he's ready to give it to the cause of God, but it seems so small. And now he lines his disciples up, and he starts breaking fish, and he starts breaking bread. Now, these people are hungry, and you are one of the disciples, and you've got this little crummy serving of bread and fish, and you bring it, and as you're giving it to the one, you're looking at the rest of them thinking, I'm gonna look like the biggest fool that ever lived, because this guy's not gonna get any, and that guy's not gonna get any, and there are too many people, and there's too little of this. But he puts it in their hand again, and they bring to another, and he puts it in their hand again, and they bring to another, and he puts it in there, and this is a long and a tedious process, but there are some things that God won't do. God could have snapped his finger, and everybody there could have had a happy meal right there in their lap, but he's fixated on using us and letting us handle the miraculous and letting us carry them. But you've got to have faith enough, and you've got to believe God enough to say, you know what, I think he can feed every one of these, and I'm just going to be excited to be a part of this. You got to have a work ethic. 12 people serving, Sister Corey, do some numbers on that. 12 serving 5,000. You've felt like that before. They've served a whole lot more than we had staff for before. And our Barnabas crowd and the kitchen crowd and the cooking crowd do a wonderful job, don't they? But beyond the miraculous, that got to just be work. They were just serving. They were just feeding. It took hours and hours and hours to do that. And by the time they had fed 1,563, the first guy was saying, can I have another one? Can I have some more? But to persist in the miraculous that's moving incrementally and by degrees, it's hard to see. When the Red Sea splits, that's a big thing. Everybody can see it. But a lot of what God does is incremental, and it moves in stages. And you have to really know about things of God to see it and appreciate it. God needs somebody that's willing to go back to God and get more and bring it back to a hungry world. Praise God. He was showing them a miraculous picture of the church, because we as men, we go back to God and we get another little handful and we bring it back to hungry men and women. And God lets us participate in the miraculous. But you got to have a work ethic, and you got to continually go back to God, and you've got to get more, and you've got to bring it back again. And then somebody's going to say, I don't like fish. Fish is what we're having. This is a miracle of God. Praise God. It's great fun going back to God and getting some more and bringing it to hungry people. Now, I do not like serving people that aren't hungry. I don't like to teach them Bible studies. I don't want to fool with them. People that aren't hungry, I'm not interested in that at all, because they're not going to let me participate in the miraculous. But boy, hungry folks love going back and getting a little handful for them. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Anybody want to be a part of what God is doing in this city? Praise God. I'm almost done. Praise God. And you know, when when I do things, well, never mind, I won't get into that. The miracle of God can cause you all kinds of problems. Hey, Joseph. Mary's knocked up. Joseph said, yeah. And the guy said, well, you're not going to marry her. He said, oh, yeah, I am. He said, well, who's the other guy? Well, it's a long story. But every busybody in that small town, you read the scripture, this follows Jesus all the way into his ministry. The Pharisees are saying, well, at least we know who our father is. You see that? You understand what you're hearing there, what you're seeing there? That rumor goes with him. He's a bastard. It follows him all the way to the cross. Joseph got to handle the miraculous. But the miraculous of God brought reproach to Joseph every day of his life because the people didn't understand. And God didn't send out a bulletin to everybody. Say, God, could you please tell everybody about this? Because they think I'm a fool. And your family thinks you're a fool. And you're handling the miraculous. And your friends think you're stupid. And you're handling the miraculous. But somewhere there, Joseph just crossed over. And I don't know if he ever took a big board out of the carpenter shop and used it on it. We don't get that in the scripture. I can see that though. Hey, Azariah. But he carried the miracle and the reproach of the miracle every day. Are you sure you want the miracle of God? You cannot tell what form it will take and what it will cost you. Brother James, I've been places with my brethren before, and I've had people ask them, what are you doing with that white preacher? It's like we preached for Richard Allman, and a little kid, we walked in, Sir Sutton and I were the only white people in the house, and this little kid turned around the pew, and he was just looking at us like we were aliens. And he turned around and said to my wife, what are you white people doing in our church? And his mama was going, no, 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 no. But it was too late. It was loosed. And she said, well, baby, we're doing the same thing you are. We've come to worship God with you. But if you're hung up on your ethnicity, or you're hung up on your cultural circle, or you want to fit a certain secular, political, or whatever kind of type, you may not be cut out for the miraculous of God. But you've got to step out of that. What the world calls reproach, we call the privilege of handling the miracle of God. And it gets interesting, because you can't jack somebody's jaw anymore, because we got the Holy Ghost. But I'll just tell you something that makes me want to jack somebody's jaw. If they start running down the people of God or running down my brothers, it starts in my feet, Brother Cornwell, this burning sensation. And I've got a terrible, terrible, deep-seated anger in me. And the Holy Ghost keeps it at bay and keeps it buried. And you may never see it. You may never, ever see it. But I just go 0 to 60. I want to draw blood. Now, I'm just being transparent here. But I can't. I can't. I got to let them rattle on to hear their head rattle. And I've got to say, I ain't studying what you're saying. I'm carrying the miraculous. Do you know how miraculous this congregation is in the city of Birmingham? Do you know how miraculous it is that you're apostolic? Do you know how miraculous it is that you love holiness? Do you know how miraculous it is that you're multicultural? And you know what we need? We need some Filipinos. We need some Chinese. We need a little bit of everything in the house of God. I'm going to stop. The miracle of God is sometimes cumbersome and messy, full of problems. And I've preached here about Joseph of Arimathea. What a wonderful, miraculous thing God let him be involved in. He was the gentleman that took Jesus off the cross. When I preach about it, I talk about it in terms of having proper regard for the people of God and the body of Christ. But when he went to Pilate and said, "Give me the body," and Pilate allowed him to, he was about to do something that had to be done. That figure had to be taken off the cross and transported to the tomb, to the place of resurrection power. God did not do that. He left that into the hand of a man. But we get to do that on a regular basis. We find somebody like Tenarius, and we get him. And I don't know what kind of, you were in pretty good shape when you walked in the house of God. But God washed all your sins away. And the church takes you from the place of encounter with the cross and brings you to the place of resurrection. And it's messy business. It's all kind of interesting business. But God lets a man or a woman transport you to the place of resurrection power. When we talk about the body of Christ, it's all bloody and putrid and messed up and stinks, and it's dead, and it's dead weight, and it doesn't cooperate, and we have to drag it over, clean it up. It's exactly what we do with brand new people in the house of God. Clean them up. Put them in the place where God's going to visit them with a miracle of God and resurrection. And they're going to be brand new people. Isn't it amazing to handle the miracle of God? Praise God. Praise God. I want you to tonight, as families, if you would, and if you don't have family here, get with somebody that you can adopt right quick. I'm sorry to keep you this late on a Sunday night. It's a work night. But come on down around this altar. Praise God. And I want you to just tell God again, I want to be a part of your miracle. I want my household, my family, to be a part of your miracle. I want to handle the miraculous, God. Whatever I have to do, whatever I have to be, I want to do that tonight. Let all the young men say, I want to be a part of your miracle, oh God. Let all the handmaidens say, I want to be a part of the miracle of God. Let all the dads say, God, I want to be a part. I want it in my house. Let all the mamas say, God, send us a miracle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, let me handle your things. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I surrender, Lord.
Hallelujah. I just pray the prayer or sing the song. I surrender all.
Bye.
Hallelujah. Lay your hands on those near you right now. Pray God's anointing. Pray God's blessing. Get your nets in shape. Get your boat in shape. God's about to send a miracle. God's going to send a miracle to your house. God's going to send a miracle to your family. Hey. Sister Miriam, come down here. Praise the Lord. Sister Miriam's a retired teacher. She's about to open up a Bible study at Huffman High School. She's going to have about 3 weeks there or 3 or 4 studies there. We were talking about this morning what studies she can use strategically there because she doesn't have a year. She has just a few shots at these young people. I want some of you ladies to come lay your hands on her. And I want you to pray because I believe she's walking into that place with a miracle in her hand. I believe that God is able to uncork a miracle there. Brother Cliff, I want you to come down right here. I want some of these men to lay their hands on you. Brother Cliff picked up 3 new Bible studies this morning. He's teaching all over this city. He's teaching in Pell City. I believe he's walking with miracles in these hands. I believe God's going to open up a door there. There's 200 people that are going to be baptized in Jesus' name in Pell City alone. Brother George, Brother Martin, come over here. Let's lay hands and pray for you. I believe God's got a miracle. I believe God's got a net full of Spanish-speaking people in this city. Lay your hands on them and pray for them. Hallelujah, 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 yes. Hey! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless the media team. God bless Barnabas. God bless the praise team. God bless the musicians. God bless the Bible study teachers. God bless the Sunday school. God bless the youth workers. God bless all these ministries and all these teams. Help us, God, to walk in the miraculous. Hey, help us, God. Pour out your miracle. If you believe God's got a miracle for your life, begin to worship him and praise him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, 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 yes, almighty God, worthy God. Oh, yes, oh, yes. Mighty God, worthy God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm going to pray for you that you be ready for your miracle. I'm going to pray for you that you're ready, that you're strong enough, that you're wise enough, that your boat is in good shape, that your nets are in good repair. God's got a miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. God bless the small groups. God bless these Wednesday night groups. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Praise God. God bless you. So good to be in the house of God with you tonight. Strengthen and bless somebody before you leave the house tonight. Be a blessing to somebody tomorrow. Walk in the blessing and be a blessing. Be on the lookout. There's a miracle moving in your direction. God's already begun to move on your behalf right now. Praise God. Be sure to grab some shot cards off the table in the foyer and just give one to everybody you see, everybody you talk to. Leave a card with them. Somebody's going to come live for God.